Okay. Okay, we're going to finish up the handout I was looking at before, and we're going to look at these particular cursor examples. So I'm going to go to another set of cursor examples, and we looked at the first two, so now we're looking at the third one. And the third one is simply using a for loop as opposed to the other kinds of loops that I used at the beginning. So it is saying for the employee data one in the C employee one loop. Okay, so if you look up above, okay, I've got a cursor called the C employee one. And when I use the for loop, I basically am saying for the employee data one. Okay? And notice that basically is being attached to. So it's defining a name right there. It's defining the name for the current one in C employee one. Okay, so it is not a new name that I define, it is defining. Okay, so it is saying for the employee data in, so it's stepping through and referring to each record as the employee data in. Data one, I call that in. Data one. So it's defining it as it goes. Okay, and that really is about the only difference in this particular loop from the others. In the for loop, then I defined it as false, and I defined it as one, and then I said, okay, while the V loop count is less than the count in the table, and the final flag is false. So that's just a little different way of doing that. So that I'm looking for, keep doing this as long as there's something in the table and the flag isn't false. Okay, so I've got a compound going on there. And then I say, if I find it, I'm going to set it to true, else I'm adding one and I'm continuing the loop. So there's two ways of getting out of this. Now the problem is that once you put in two ways of getting out, you don't know which way got you out. So you have to ask down below. Okay? Whenever you have a compound on the while and saying, you know, there's both of these have to be true. So if one of them isn't true, I'm getting out. But I don't know which one it is. So after I'm out, I gotta check and see which one it was. Okay? So if found flag is false, then I do my thing and I have the answer. Now sometimes you'll wanna have an else on that, so you'll have two different things that you are doing if you want to do two different things. Okay? But I only want to act if the found flag is false. Okay, if I find it, then I don't want to put the manager in the table. So again, we're looking at, we're putting unique managers in the table. Okay. And on this one, again, I have employee data. So employee data 2 and the employee 2. So again, I'm giving, that's the name of the record. So down here, I refer to the employee table two that's referring to that, and specifically the employee ID. So I'm saying the employee ID in that record.
And that record is being defined. And I'm trying to think, I don't see anything else that is particularly different in this one. On the last one, oh, actually, I should have mentioned that. I don't believe I did. Still running
late. Look at this. The logic in this program has changed because the cursor for loop is used. Okay? And notice there's no open, close, or fetch.
And I don't believe I forgot to say that. Okay? So it goes through, and when I'm doing the for, this is for the individual record in the cursor. And it changes the rules and handles it automatically for you. So again, looking at this, it says the logic in this program is changed because the cursor for loop is used. Notice there are no open, close, or fetch statements. The cursor for loop automates the handling of these commands. Okay? The syntax of the cursor for loop is the for followed by the record name. In followed by the cursor name. Okay. And so, as I said, that was a definition when I say for this, in this. Find the words. Okay. And I forgot to mention the rather important part that you don't have to open, close, or fetch because it automates the whole thing.
Is that the most practical way of doing it, though?
Not unless you've got a particular... A for statement is designed to go 1, 2, 3, 4. And if that's what you want to do, then it's fine to do it that way, but a lot of times you have more complexity, and so you need to have a more standard loop where you're in control. I mean, it is definitely taking control of this, and it's going through one record at a time in the cursor, but it's automating that. Okay, so it's automating the whole thing. And in this one, I changed the logic, as it says further down, we just talked about that, so that I have a while catching both things. Okay, so I changed that. But this means it basically steps through each record in turn, becomes the B employee data one, and each record in turn becomes that as it steps through. So when you use that for, it populates the cursor. It populates the cursor for you. The for is set up to do fetching, basically. It's set up to go through. It defines the name of the record and does the fetching, and then the close.
This way it would be real tough to catch an error, right?
What kind of an error?
Well, I mean, you're actually running the program like this, if everybody pays. That's where it's
right.
Control of everything.
I have a natural tendency to want to be in charge. Maybe you do too.
Yeah.
But I think this works all right. I guess I'm trying to think of where it would go off on an error, but I'm not really. Notice that whenever I refer to something in that,
I am always using the this and then the name of the field. Okay, so I'm always referring to the name of the field. So I'm saying employee data one dot manager ID, so I'm referring to
the name in the for statement followed by the field name. So it's given a name to each individual record. It's looping through each individual record.
And then when I get to the while, it is just saying, okay, if the loop count is less than the count, less than or equal to the count, and the flag is false. Okay? So either one of those is going to get you out of the while. You're going to get out when you've processed all the records. You're going to get out if you find a match. So you're getting out based on either one of those.
And then the third one, the fourth one, I set it up so that I have the cursor in order by manager ID.
So I have only one cursor in here, and I use the same cursor twice. But I've got the cursor in order by manager ID. So what does that do for you? It means if something, it's easier to tell when I've already got a match and to stop. I don't have to keep going through everything. Okay, if I've got a series of sequential numbers and I'm comparing, as soon as I get bigger than the number, I don't have to check all the rest of them because it can't be there if they're in order. If they're not in order, then I've got to check every single thing in the table. So I start putting things in the table, they're going to go in not in order, and I have to just check everything.
Whereas if they are in order, so I set up here, select employee ID, salary, manager ID from employees, order by manager ID. Okay, so I'm ordering by that. Oh, good. For some reason, it hasn't been taking the pictures when I've been clicking on it. I will have to go back and throw some pictures in here. Okay, so then I'm going in and I'm saying the first loop is building the table of the managers.
So I said for employee data and employee loop. And then I said, if the manager count equals zero. Okay, so that means there's nothing there. Or the manager ID is less than or equal to the count. Then I put in the
is not equal, I said equal, is not equal, then I put it in. Okay, so I'm saying if the count is zero, I want to put something in the manager, because count is zero is the first one. So if the count is zero, I want to put something in. Or if the manager ID is not equal to the one the count is pointing to, then I want to put it in. Because then it has become bigger, and I want to put it in. So I'm putting the manager ID in on the zero one, and then if it is not equal to, and so that is still the manager ID. Okay. So now I can come down here and open that same cursor again by using the for statement. And when I say in C employee one, it restarts, basically. It goes back to the beginning to get the first record. Okay? So I've already been through the cursor once, now I'm going through it, the record, the second time. And the for statement, because again, I don't have to have the open, I don't have to, it does that for me.
Okay?
And so then I come down and I am looking for the match. Okay, I'm going down and saying, look at the count, look at the false. Okay, if the found value is true, then I am doing the salary. So when I find it, I'm doing the salary. Okay. But by putting the manager ID, this is the only difference really, is I put the manager IDs in order. And so I can say if it's the first record, I want to put it in. And then if it's not equal, then I know it's bigger and I don't have to check any others. I'm just going to put it in. Does that make sense? Why isn't that deciding that it's... Yeah, that one worked, all right. Okay. The next thing I want to do is go back and look at these because they kind of show you different ways to do the cursors. Okay. Open with other and notepad. So on this one, I've got a cursor where I am using two files. Okay? So I can make this cursor as complex as I want to. I'm saying I want to go to a file called KDigger1 and get a name. And I want to go to the file called KTran1 and get the hours worked. And then I say from, and I list the two tables that I'm using. And then I say I want to get a match based on ID number. So I am going in and getting the match based on ID number. So I've said, get the name from one file, get the hours worked from another file, and I want to have it where there is a link between the two tables based on the ID number. Okay, so the pay data we'll assume is a one-to-many relationship with the pay tran. Okay, so I'm going to get all of the records that match. Okay, so I'm getting all of the records that match. So I might be getting John 10 hours. And then if John has an ID of 1, then John 12 hours. Okay, then John again for 14 hours or whatever. But I'm going to get all of those in the
cursor, because I'm getting all of the ones where I have an ID, and I'm taking, actually that's not going to show the cursor, and I'm only putting in the name and the hours worked. But it is only going to be for the ones where the IDs are matching, so it's only going to be for the ones. So I will put them all in there, then I can go in through a loop, and I just didn't do anything in the loop, I just turned them out. But I might have, for example, gotten a total of the number of hours, or something like that. I just went in and just showed you.
Okay. Because my main purpose there was to show you that you can have multiple tables. So you can set up a very complex cursor select that will only select very specific fields. And you can use multiple tables, and you can really hone it down to exactly what you want and cut out a lot of the if statements that you might have to have in the program by doing the select. So all of those things you learned about how to make complicated selects can be applied here. So you put in the select, and then you only get the records that you want to process. You know, now there's times when you can't do that, where you have to have some ifs, especially if it's hourly, do this, if it's salary, do this, or whatever. You're going to have those. But you can really condense it a lot if you put a good select in there. Okay. The next one is, this is just the layout of one of the ones I use, so I just gave you the layout. It has a major, code and graduation credits, student has those kinds of things, student code, major code, and number of credits, and the credits need, again, the student code and that. And that was just to show the layout of one of the ones that I went through. So that's to show the layout of this one. So I said major student, major code. So I'm taking the major code from the major student. I'm taking grade courses, and I don't have to put a name on that because it's not in multiple tables. I have the student code, it's not in multiple tables, and I have the number of credits. So I'm taking those from these two tables. Okay, the third one is the one that I'm creating. Okay, so I'm creating a table down there. So again, I've gone in, I'm getting a bunch of things from two tables, I'm doing a match on major code, and then I can go in and open the cursor that gets the criteria, and then I can do the while, and I'm including an insert because I'm making another table. But again, the point is that you can use multiple tables in these things.
So by declaring that, you automatically create the table, you don't have to create it outside of the cursor?
Well, I mean, I've created kind of a view. The insert is creating the table. Oh, no, I have to create
an outside.
You
have to set it outside, all right.
You have to understand, I have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do it in here, I can put a create in there, but if I put a create in there, I always do it as a separate thing if I want to do it, just like we did in PHP or do anything. But I mean, I create, if I'm going to do a create, I would create a separate PLSQL to do the create, because I don't want to have it so that I'm checking to see does it exist before I do the inserts and all that.
So you just create an empty table?
I just create an empty table, and it's easier to just do it at the SQL prompt.
Yep.
So that's what I did. I just created an empty table, and now I'm putting data into it. And And again, that DBMS line is a wonderful thing when you're debugging. But on the whole, you don't want to see the 10,000 records coming out. So on the whole, you don't use it. But it's a wonderful thing when you're making checking to make sure that everything you've got is what you want.
I think I captured that.
Now this is just the create donor. So this is the table that I made to create and insert. And I didn't know whether everybody had a donor table, so this is the donor table. And you can use this. So this is what I could do. You can also do. Just do a create table and run that script. Okay? So I've got a script to run the table and a script that inserts the values into the table. So if I mess up the table, I've got another copy of it. Or if you mess up the table, I've got another copy of it. And then, paranoia that I have, I immediately created donor backup as a copy of the thing. So when I created the table, I also immediately made a copy of it. So then these next four are ones that I can actually run, okay, if I have the donor table and the other tables. So this one is donor cursor one. Okay. So if I go back up and open SQL Plus, got these out there, I hope. So if I say edit, well, actually, donor cursor 1.sql. Good. Can't find it. Wonderful. When I did that yesterday or the day before, I think I forgot to put a commit in. Oh, well. Okay, I can take this if I want it. So I can open it with Notepad. I can take this code and copy it. And then I can go in here and say, again, edit donor cursor 1, cannot find it, I can paste it in, and then do a file save, file exit, and I don't quite know what I just did, and then come back and run this as @ donor cursor 1. And it was successfully completed, and those are the two names that came up. So now let's go back and look at that. Okay, so this one I had the donor table out there so I could do it. But this time I've got select state, contact, some year goal, from donor, group by state and contact, having a some year goal greater than the average year goal. And so I've got a real limited amount of stuff that I've got there. I've basically taken care of everything in the select.
So I said, select those, group by state of contact, having a sum of year goal greater than the average year goal, and those are the ones that I get.
Okay. If you look at and go back and say, select average year goal from donor, okay, that's the average year goal, so that you can see that in fact,
okay, these two are greater than that average. Okay, then if I want to,
I can take and do a select actually it's easier probably to type it. Contact. Okay, so those gives me all the groups. So if I just type that in, I'm saying show me the state, the contact, and the sum of the year goal from the donor. Group by state in contact, so that lets me put them in the select. And so I've now got them all, and I can see that 240 being the average, those are the right ones that showed up. Okay, because the others did not have an average greater than 240. Okay. I need to go and open that up because it won't let me take a picture of two things unless I have that particular thing open. It's a wonderful smartboard operation. Okay, so that was that one. And then if I look at donor course cursor 2, okay. This one, I simply added the line that says select average year goal so that I can see the average year goal. So I ran and I could see what the average was, and then I could see that all the ones were bigger than the average. So that's the only line that I entered there. And then the third one, okay, I went in and did this. So if I take this code, and I go in here and I say edit donor cursor 3, and it can't find it, so I'm pasting it in. File, save, file, exit. And then I can run this. Okay, so those are the ones that I come out with on this. So I'm saying select a whole bunch of stuff. I'm selecting all of those things from donor where the contact is in, and I said select contact from donor where state equals Rhode Island, or the contact is in, select the contact where the donor year goal is greater than 100. So again, I can do all kinds of stuff in there to get exactly what I want. And you can see that everybody that showed up either had a Rhode Island or had a year goal greater than 100. In fact, the Rhode Island had both. But who knows which one that came out of. But the others all had a year goal greater than 100. And there were people out there that did not have the sun year goal greater than 100. And then the decode one, I did a decode where I said the decode, so I said name, city, year goal, decode the city. If it's Seekonk, add 100 to the year goal. If it's Providence, add 120. If it's Fall River, add 150. And show new goal.
Okay.
So if I take this one, and I call that decode cursor 1. So I can say edit decode cursor 1. Paste that in. And do a file save, file exit. Okay, and then an at sign decode cursor 1 gives me those results.
So you can see that Seekonk I added 100, Providence I added 125, Fall River I added 150, and it works.
So, the point here is that your cursor can be as complex as you want it to be. And you can really end up with a fairly interesting thing going on. Questions? Okay, the assignment that I gave you is the first problem.
I want to write a PLSQL program to accomplish the following. Using the sample employee database, give everyone in Department 10 a 5% raise, everyone in Department 25 a 7.5, everyone in Department 30 a 10% raise, do this using a simple if, else, and a loop. And then I said, okay, now modify the problem in 1 to make it a more complex set of if statements.
Okay. Number 3, I said, set up an inventory table and a transaction table that has sales, returns, and purchases.
Okay, the transaction code should have an S if it's a sale, an R for receipt, and a P for purchases. So I wanted you to create scripts to create and insert the data in those tables.
Okay, so you're going to make those two, that table, set up an inventory table and a transaction table. So your inventory table is going to have an ID number and actually all you have to have then is
a name or something. We'll look and see what I asked for down below. And the transaction table is going to have the same ID and then an S, an R, or a P, and a number that will tell how much the sale is, how much the return is, how much the purchase is.
So then on number 4, I said using the tables you created in the 4th problem, only I should have said 3rd problem,
process the transactions and determine the impact on inventory. Okay? Display information that gives the original inventory and the inventory after the sales, returns, and purchases have been processed. So looking at that, when you go back, you know that on the inventory table, you need to have a thing that tells you what the current inventory is, what you have on hand at that point.
And then you're going to, if it is a sale, you're subtracting from that. If it's an R for return, you're subtracting from that. If it's a purchase, meaning then you're not. You're adding to it. Okay, so I've purchased something that has increased my inventory, something that's come in that I've purchased. Okay. So, my plan is to give you a half an hour, and you've gotten less than that, but anyway, to start working on this so that hopefully you can get the first one kind of under control. And then next week, I'm out Tuesday. Thursday, we're going to do catch up and start doing all the things that I skipped and go back and finish all that off. And then the following weeks, we only have a few minutes left to go. My goal is the last week of classes, I don't have any classes. So that it's an open lab year for that week. And so you can just come in and work on stuff, but there's no new material that week. And you get the final given to you a week before it is due. And it's a take-home final, and you have a week to do it. So, take some time now, please, and go through and start one of these problems, whichever one you want to do, so that you have some time to ask some questions. And if you don't have a sample employee table, you can download it. All those are online.
So this one, as you put it in for next week, technically next Thursday after.
That's due next Thursday.
We're in week 11.
You're right. That's next week's assignment.
Yeah.
You're right.
Does that change it?
No, yeah, maintenance is due the week after. I just put it up because I knew I was finishing curses. Oh, yeah. I didn't give you an assignment on 10, did I? Actually, that's what I meant to put on 10, so you're probably going to get another assignment for 11. That's right. So, I mean, it really doesn't get... Yeah, you're right. I pasted that into the wrong one.
I thought we were just getting lucky. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm not glad I asked the question because at least everybody could just submit it at that Thursday.
Yeah.
And then we'll she said
Yeah, no, that whole little root thing should have been down as an addition to week 10. Because obviously this is week 10 and I just went over those. So that was supposed to be an addition to week 10. Good for me. I'm having a good day, or I had a good night last night when I did it. Actually, I will move that down to 10, just so people know that I already went over all of this stuff. And that's not
week 11. Makes the pile smaller.
That's right. Week 11 is going to be the little stuff. Good catch. Good catch. I was being so proud of myself that I put up the stuff for next week because I wasn't going to be around this weekend, so it was easier to do it. I wonder how many classes I did that to. Now I'm going to have to go and look. So anyway.
You teach at 159 this semester too?
No. I'm teaching it to two people.
Oh, that's why it's up.
They're taking it under the umbrella.
Okay, no, that's why I was looking at it. I took the cat and see what it is.
Yeah.
I was setting up the job.
Right.
HTML. I could probably just run it down too.
Yeah, it's basic HTML. I mean, the first assignment that I did was go back and do your HTML. But it's very basic HTML. But
I'm not interested in what you do when you're teaching, and that's why I have more interest in
structure.
Yes.
You know how to do it.
So, please start one of the programs,
and work on trying to get the crystal stuff, okay?
Yeah.
What is so fascinating back here?
There.
You all the buggy, or?
Well, we're the buggy.
Not every one transaction for every inventory. I'd like, some multiple transactions.
On the first one, we'll be updating the database, the employee files. Or do you just want it?
You can just write it out. But it depends on what you want to do. You can write it out. I'm giving them a raise, so that kind of implies I'm doing an update. Right. But, so make a copy of your employee table and mess it up.
Well, that was one, because it's not my table.
Right.
Or the agency.
No, remember that you can download all of the things that are Oracle's examples. So if you go here, and you look for Oracle EMP. On that, here is one, for example, the employee department bonus and salary grades in Oracle. Come on, we can do it. Okay, so there is how to create the tables, and there is the data that you can use to put in them. So there's the data for our employee and all the rest. So you can just copy and paste this stuff into your own script and run your script. Or I think this actually is a script that you can run. And they're kind of creating them all at once. So you've got a script to do the create of the table if you want to do that. So you can just copy this and create the table. And if you don't want the keys, you can take the keys out, but they've got keys for them when they're doing it. And then further down, they've got the data. So all of these are the employee table, the department table, the bonus table, and the salary grade table are all Oracle's tables. And you can just create. Okay, so just copy and paste them into a script, and you can make them. And they're out there in multiple places. Get captured at the beginning.